Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. With great joy, let's welcome Dr. Odubanjo as he brings us God's word. We are blessed and favored here. Hallelujah. Over to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I ask you to first stand? So thank you for thanking and appreciating my wife. Please, another round of applause for her. It can be very difficult being married to me and being married to people like me. There are a few stories that I haven't told, and sometimes I tell stories quite a bit, and there are a few stories, but I think there was a story I told last year in church. They had never heard it before. And I told, it was very strange. I told them, I said, I came to the UK in 2005 to do a master's. I told my wife, I said, I believe God is sending us to the UK now. She started packing her things and moving. By the first time she came and brought things, I said, you pack them and take them back. She said, what? I said, I'm not staying. I said, I don't know why, but God is not keeping me here. So you can imagine, you carried everything, came. And I mean, she came to visit quite all right, but she was beginning to move things. And I said, you move them back. Said, why? I said, I just don't feel it. Something is wrong. I'm not supposed to be here. And so when you live with strange people, it's a sacrifice. You know, I had to go greet a doctor this morning. She didn't understand why I was greeting her specially. You know, but I told her, I said, thank you for gifting him. Because I've seen him for 3 years or so now at this camp meeting, and I know what it takes. When you meet people like that, I know how they live. I know what they can do. I know how they can wake up. It's like Abraham. Abraham says, look, God says, leave this place and let's go. He said, where? He said, I don't know. And you have to go. You understand? This one. Where is the anointing oil? God will have to help me this morning. Hi, hallelujah. So just close your eyes for a moment. Close your eyes for a moment. You have a reason I live. You're the one for me. You're the one for me. I said you have a reason I live. You're the one for me. You're the one for me. And why should I fear when I have you surrounded by your love, your everlasting? Say, why should I hear what people say? They don't know what to do. They don't know, what you mean. You are saying, you're the one. You are, you're the one for me. You are, oh Lord, you are the reason I live. You're the one for me. You're the one for me. Why should I care when I have you? Surrounded by your love, your everlasting. Say why should I care what people say? They don't know, they don't know. No, what you mean. Say they don't know, they don't know.
me. Me don't know, me don't know what you mean. Me don't know, me don't know
what you mean to me.
Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for today, which is Easter. That's the basis of it all. Your death and resurrection to take our sins away, to grant us righteousness in Christ, to ensure we have right standing with God, and to ensure that our whole life is because of you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for these 3 days of camp meeting. Thank you for speaking to us. You know, between Malachi and Matthew, there was about 3,000 years of no words from God. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you because indeed we will shine, as you have said. And thank you because this morning you enabled me to speak accurately as your mouthpiece and ministers of a power that only you can supply. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I know that we're a bit conscious of time now. We are running out of time, so I won't take more than 20 half hours. Hallelujah. But I must thank my dear friend of over 30 years, Apo, on one hand is known, Oba, as I call him, Reverend Lee Confessional, who's been a very, very, very dear friend for so many decades. You know, I must thank him. I don't take this for granted. I don't take this privilege. I've been here for so many years and at camp meeting for all of the years. And I think I thank him. I don't take it for granted at all, you know, that I could be here. If you don't know, he's very well connected. So there are many people that he could have speak, but I thank him for reposing the confidence to ask and say that I speak that often, you know, at Ignite Church. I was telling somebody, I said, very often, I'm also I get in touch with people. You know, but not many people are close to me. You know, so back over the years, if I came to the UK, there were just a few people I would contact. You know, very often I pass through, you know, officially and blah, blah. I'm here for a few days. I would call him. There's a very, 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 very well-known pastor in the UK. He's laughing. He knows who I had the privilege of pastoring. Back in the day, I would call him, and not for anything, not for ministry opportunities, because sometimes when I call and he say, will you pray for us tomorrow? I say, no, I'm actually traveling tomorrow. I'm only calling to say hello, you know, and all that, because you are my friend, you know, and it's been that kind of friend. So there are only two people. If I go to Abuja, there are two people also that I would call and just say hello to them. It's not for anything. It's just to keep the friendship. And if we could meet, I would appreciate that. If we could just fellowship together and talk, if the opportunity to speak at the church is there, whatever, well, maybe I could do that. I'm only just now transiting to being an itinerant minister, but I didn't, you know, pay much attention to that. So I must thank him very much. I must thank his dear wife, Sister Chokul, as I call her, because of the way she would always chuckle, Setman! You know, so, and it's lovely. It's a signature chuckle, you know, for me. So once I hear that, I know he's talking. You know, that's a real person. If I don't hear it, I know it's AI. That must be AI. And the AI is not good enough, you know, but that is her. So I must thank her very much for being there and being large-hearted. Amen. And of course, Corey Day and Tony were also going to become my friends. But I must also thank the church leadership, you know, here who are amazing. Pastor Larry, thank you very much. I've known Pastor Shemo, thank you. And of course, your dear wives. Once I come in and I say, how are you, Pastor? I look. I say, where's your wife? Because then I will just send you away. Where's your wife now? You know, lovely people, lovely people. You don't appreciate them enough. I'm appreciating your pastors. You don't, you know. Whether you know it or not, actually, I mean, Reverend Fashion and I, we know it quite a number of people. And I can tell you that they are not all very good people. Pastors, you know, but like Pastor Smart was saying yesterday, he's a good pastor. These are good pastors that I see, lovely people with a good, genuine heart for God's people. Amen. I know that I thank all the other leaders and, of course, Reverend Fashion. It's because of time. If I don't go through certain names and all that, please pardon me. It's not, my heart is good. My head may not be correct, but my heart is very good. Okay. But I must thank Mr. Arishi very much. You know, he's driven about 4 hours, you know, to get my wife and actually my son in. Where is Fowoko? Where is Fowoko? Yeah, Noba, where are they? Eh? They will be together. If you find Noba, you'll find him. So find both of them. Find both of them and get them in. Okay, the lady is going to get them. Very good, thank you. And of course, I have my daughter who's been here with me since Friday, who actually made me drive Friday night and said, Daddy, I want to get there today. You know, so Fife, where is she? She too has stepped out. Where is Anne? Where is the whole crew? Okay. All right. Anne, Vicky, that's the crew for that one there. Uh-huh. So anyway, I thank them all for being here. Thank you, Mr. Arishi, very much for that great sacrifice. I appreciate it. Thank you. And I want to thank the whole church, you know, for singing on Friday. And I even had Minister Kolesho sing for me. And I said, I hope they took the picture. I didn't take one with her, so I can also pose and say, you know, I met her. You know, is that not what people do now? They go and get somebody come and sing for somebody on their birthday. So she sang for me on my birthday. Amen. So I took her and pose now and said, Midnight Crew sang for me. For my birthday, you know, so that's awesome. And thank you very much, everyone. Thank you. You even managed to conjure a cake, even though I wasn't supposed to be there that night. So thank you so very much. I appreciate it. Again, as I'm learning to do this properly, if you go on, what's it called now, on podcast on Apple, or you go on Spotify, you'll find our podcast there, Total World Ministry International. And you can get free downloads. If you won't go to the website, if you go to the website, you'll get years of downloads, of messages there, all for free. We have never sold anything in all the many years of ministry. Hallelujah. Please go with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 60. And I'm going to walk with that. I work with a few texts, and but at this point, let's open that. Isaiah 60, and I know that those are scriptures Reverend Fashino probably has touched on, and of course, several people have touched on the scriptures, but we'll read them this morning. Let me also say that while I speak, I believe very much in the kind of thing that happened in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, that says that while he spoke, you know, while Peter spoke, the Holy Spirit fell upon those that heard him. So I believe that things happen when you sit under an atmosphere like this. Things happen. One day, some years ago, I just felt like, and I said, look, testimonies, not people who have had hands laid upon them, but who things have just changed for. That you just suddenly, one day you recognize that, since I come into church, this happened to me. But you've never given the testimony. And somebody came and said, you know, for me, it was that I used to itch very much. And he said, I mean, to take a bath was a tug of war. Because if I had a bath, I would itch and itch and itch and itch.
And he said, but I just realized that since I started coming and sitting under God's word, I didn't make it a prayer point or anything. He said, but one day I just realized that the thing had stopped. You know, and I actually, the day I realized, he said, I went to jump in the shower. I said, ah, is it true? He said, but that thing had stopped completely. So things happen when we sit under an atmosphere like this. There may not be time to lay hands or whatever on people. Thank God that Pastor Smart did that yesterday night. And thank you, Pastor, for speaking about what it was, that it was very prophetic. I think that's what I was also talking to Pastor Larry about, you know, because he was helping out and serving. And when he was prayed for, he wanted to collect it back for me. And I said, no, take a little time and pray, you know, about it, because something is going on. You know, we may not recognize it that way. I said, but something is going on, you know, so take a little time and sink it in. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Now, Pastor Larry, by the grace of God, that thing has gone off. So it's not me. Eh? No. Just sit down. Don't sit down. But it just went off. So God moves in mysterious ways. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 60, are you there? Verse 1, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Verse 3 says, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. We're going to read another one that we've been reading a lot, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew the 5th chapter. And we'll read verses 14 to 16. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I'll read verse 16 in two other versions. The NLT, it says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The Amplified Classic says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, just one more text for now. Isaiah 48. Verse 17 and 18, actually. It says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Amen. I read that in the Message translation. It says, and now the Master, God, sends me and his Spirit with this message from God, your Redeemer, the Holy of Israel. I am God, your God, who teaches you how to live right and well. I show you what to do, where to go. If you had listened to me all along to what I told you, your life would have flowed full like a river. Blessings rolling in like waves from the sea. Children and grandchildren are like sand. Or basically, that's where that ends. You know, the message goes on and on. Okay, so that's where that ends. One more thing. Let me also thank Reverend, because he went to Nigeria in February. And last minute, when he let me know, I jacked him, kidnapped him. Got him to speak at our church February for the Valentine program. And it was such a huge blessing to us. And I was watching online. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. First thing I'll say,
There are three things actually that I'm going to emphasize or summarize that I believe God wants me to say to you this morning. But before I get there, my pastor would say that sometimes it's good to be invited as a guest listener. And that's what I've been, you know, the last day. I've been a guest listener and I've been tremendously blessed, you know. So I've been listening carefully, soaking in what people were saying. Actually, sometimes I don't want to do that if I'm speaking at the same meeting because I don't want them to influence what I'm saying. But I already knew what I was to say and I'd already written down bits of what I was to say. So I was just soaking in what the people were saying. And everything that was being said all the way from when Dr. Yejide was speaking yesterday morning that I was hearing. And I told her, I said, you preached my message. You know, and if anything, I should just say, as Dr. Yejide said, you know, and then I can go and sit down. Amen, you know, and I'll be done. Hallelujah. But she said a lot of things, but basically I've given you the summary of my view of what she said. Of course, Reverend Ajayi Morenike yesterday and Pastor Smart. They said many things, you know, many things, and I got a prize, you know, in the afternoon. But they said many things. But apart from the many things they said, there was something both of them said that I think that we are keen in on this morning. And basically they said that the spiritual trumps the physical. I don't know if you heard that. Because they said so many things that you can get. But at the end of the many things, they were saying the spiritual, actually, you must emphasize or you must pay attention to that one. You can't just do investment or do this or that. They said pay attention to the spiritual. Actually, that's why I added on the last text that I just read this morning that says what God says, I'm the one who teaches you to profit. I'm the one who's going to teach you what to do. In fact, if I would quote exactly how Pastor Smart put that yesterday night, he said, only God can show you what to do to be successful. Did you hear that yesterday? He said, only God can show you. So it could be granuts. It could be, you know. He said, but only God can show you. I was listening to, well, Reverend Morenike put it this way also, and Pastor Smart said it also yesterday night, and said, do not run another man's race. Did you hear that as well? But you need to find what God is leading you to. There are certain general principles that work. The diligence, the discipline, the determination, and all of that. They said many of those things in one way or the other, but they said you'll have to get God. You'll have to have a secret place. And Pastor Smart said what? It's either you belong in the secret place of God or you belong in a secret court. He said because at a certain level, he said everybody is operating by something that is not physical. He said, maybe if you are not at a certain level, you won't know. You may not totally experience that. He said, but when you get to a certain level, you realize that even these guys we are reading about, they are not ordinary people. They are not just walking by the physical. It's not just by their smartness. It's not just that this guy is a tech guru and all of that. He said, there's something else they are operating by. There's a different power. And you need to get your own. And know that you know it. Are you with me? I was listening to Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and she said the same thing. She said, sometimes we think we need money when what we need is revelation. She said, we think we need money, but what we need is revelation. That is that revelation that will get you the money that you need. Are you still there? There's a gentleman in this country that I pastored for many years, many decades. In fact, as a student in Nigeria, he invited me to his secondary school in Benin. You know, invited me to Benin. And I went to Benin on the invitation of this secondary school student. Traveled all the way to Benin. I found one hotel somewhere that I could afford, squeezed myself in, looked for the school, went to preach in the school. But today he's here. I mean, he's been here for over 20 years now. He's an investment banker. Well, he started off as an investment banker. And now this is his story. He was sharing, because I do a monthly
meeting with some of such people, a virtual meeting. And he was saying that, you know, at some point in his life, I think things were a bit funny and difficult. He was walking the city, and God told him, I think things were a bit funny in the place, and God told him, leave the job, resign. He said, and he resigned the job. His wife was pregnant. He said he resigned his job, and for 3 months he had no income. He was struggling with it. God, what is going on? What am I supposed to do? What is all this about? You know, what's the next step to take? He said, and then he had two offers. And he was considering, what do I do? He said one offer was not nearly as good as the other one. But the more he prayed about it, God told him, the one that is not as good is the one you should go for. He said he was thinking, what in the world is all of this? But he took the job. He went there. He said he remembers the day he met the CEO. Say, we will say CEO or chairman CEO. He said the guy looked at him and told him. He said, I'll take you on. He said, but you are my first employee. He said, this is a startup. He said, I don't even know whether the thing will work. I don't know whether this company will exist in the next 6 months. It will be paid less, and the person is still telling you that. He said, I looked. God, what is all this about? And God said, this is where I want you. You know, he said he started off the job a few years ago. Today is a partner in that place, and it's a multinational. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
It's a multinational company now, and it's a partner. Are you still there? So years ago, like I said, I came to the UK. We did my master's return, you know, because I felt God didn't want me to stay here. And I went back, you know, to Nigeria. I was working in the hospitals, working for the government, but I totally lost it for that. So once I got back, I said I didn't want to do this anymore. God, you'll have to direct me. There's even a long story about how I came, you know, to the UK. I had an offer to go to Israel. I didn't go. I came here. Ignite. I was choir director at some point here in Ignite, you know, because I came and I said, God, what do you want me to do? You know, and I felt, well, I mean, work with Reverend Leko and giving the best you can. So I came, I would attend services, and I said, this choir, what do we do? And God said, well, help the choir. So I went to him, I said, will you let me, you know, run the choir? And he said, yes. So I became choir director. And Pastor Dayo and I, we worked. We even have a duet we did, you know, back in the day. And we did the choir. So when I look at the choir today, I'm like, ooh, wow, this is amazing. They've come a long way. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, I went back to Nigeria. Started, you know, thinking, God, I don't want to be here anymore on this particular job, you know, in the government hospital. And I was asking God, you know, what to do. I spoke to a few people and told them, look, I want a job. I'm looking for a job. And one day somebody called me and said, you know, there's a job with the Nigerian Academy of Science. Would you want it? I said, it's okay, ma. She was one of my teachers, a professor. I said, it's okay, ma. She said, okay, I'll speak to the chief executive. And she did. The man said, tell him to come. So I went to Lagos. I met this man. We talked. And he said, okay, come and start. You know, we'll send you a letter. You come and start. And I said, fine, great. But before I went, I was saying to God, you know, at that point, I said, I would not work for any institution that didn't have a website. Sounds ridiculous now, isn't it? But not many had a website and all. I said, I won't work for anybody who didn't have a website. So I looked, went online, checked, when she told me about the place, checked, saw the website, looked through the things they had there. And I went, and this guy says, come and start. I found out later that a few days after that website crashed, never came up again. So God kept the website there for me because he knew I wouldn't go there, you know. So that's how I went in there and I started. And I got in, and after about a year, things became very rough. It had no funding, but at that point, at time, actually had good funding, but only from one source, which was a U.S. A similar organization in the U.S., which was being led by Gates Foundation. That was the only source of funding there, but it was good funding enough. And I started walking in, doing my best. There are many things I'm cutting out of a story, you know, but I knew this was where God wanted me to be. So I started working at it. Within a year, things became so bad. The funders were very displeased. Everything was going wrong. You know, things were not working, and they were very displeased. The Americans would come, spend some time, we'll work together and all of that. But they were so displeased with my boss. And I would go to him and I'd say, look, oh God, these people are not happy. This is what they are complaining about. We need to do this. We need to do this. You know, we need to solve this problem. We need to do that. He would say, oh, don't worry about them. Don't worry. I say, sir, they are not happy. About 1 year later, it was a big program, you know, with Africa, the U.S. Academy, with several institutions, a few institutions in Africa, about 10 of them, but three principal institutions, Southern African Academy, Uganda in East Africa, and Nigeria in West Africa. And this wasn't working in Nigeria. So about a year later, every year they will have a board meeting, a conference and a board meeting. So that year they called for a meeting in London. And about 2 weeks to go, I got a call from the U.S. and said, do you have a visa? I said, yes. He said, can you be in this meeting? I said, yes. By that time, they also spoke to, you know, the chairman, who is president of the institution. And they said, that your chief executive, we want him gone. You know, in fact, this board meeting, we don't want him to come. Tell him to recuse himself from the meeting. The man still came. I showed up. They went in. I didn't go into the board meeting. I was in the conference. But when they finished the board meeting, it was stormy. And they came out and they said, look, those people are very angry. And they have said, if we keep him there, then they will pull the funds. They will not pay for his office. You know, we will have to go find the office. That's the Nigerian team now. And they said, and those people were worried because this, my boss, was an Ivy League trained engineer. You know, BSc, MSc, PhD, Ivy League schools in the US. And those ones were worried, and he had worked in some top institutions in the US. And he said, where do we get, if we kick him out, where do we get anybody like that? And those people said to them, ask Tony to do it. Tell him to take over. And he said, who? That one that just came. And I was about half the age of this man. And they said, yeah, we've been working with him for a while. We think he can do it. And that's how my boss was fired, to cut a long story short. And I was asked to take over. And they gave me very, how do you call it, short leash to say, these are now the milestones you must meet. If you don't meet this milestone and this milestone, now instead of annual, we give you three months. You must report how you have achieved this, how you have achieved this. If you don't achieve it, by the end of the year, we pull the funding and we move to Ghana. I said, okay, God is able. Actually, by that time, I was about to leave because I saw the way things were there. And I was thinking to myself, God, I think I want to leave this place. So when the American lady also spoke to me and said, this is what's going on. You know, I said to her, I said, Lauren, you know, I'm actually thinking of leaving. She said, really? She said, 5 minutes after we get the email that you have gone, we will pull that funding from that place completely. You know, and I prayed about it. I felt, long story short, to stay. So I stayed there, and by the following year, met all their milestones, and we had the board meeting. I presented there. Those people came to me after, and this same lady came. We're good friends today. And she shook me. She said, you don't know what you have done. I said, what? She said, my boss had made up his mind, actually, to pull the funding. She said, but you have completely disgraced everybody. And not only have you met everything we said, she said, you are actually now beginning to look like the best on the continent. Now, not only so, because again, I'm taking it from that spiritual angle. Because some of the things that are said, somebody said that everybody's secret is in their stories. And some of what I said, some of it I've cut short and I've talked about praying and finding out, does God want me to be here? There are many things I can say along the areas of my conviction that God wanted me to be there. Okay, but one day somebody came who was my senior in medical school. He was in the country. And he came, we met somewhere, and he was talking to me. Because now by that time, again, cutting long story short because of Pastor Larry, Yes, Pastor Larry is my persecutor. But so this guy sat with me, because by that time, I chaired the Association of Public Health Physicians in Lagos State for some years. I'd first been first vice chairman. They called me one day and said, look, we want you here. We're hosting a national conference. Everything is not working. And a friend of mine says, look, he was the one who called me. And he said, but I've told them about you. I told them that if you come here and you agree to run this logistics committee, everything will work. I said, who sent you a message? I said, look, what I'm battling with, because I'm battling with an institution founded in 1977, but had no structure. I said, had no funding, had nothing. I said, what I'm dealing with is enough. I don't want to deal with anything else. I don't want any commitment anywhere else. I need to deal with this one I'm dealing with. He said, no, I've already told them. He said, please, please, we're in trouble here. So I took that task on. We did the conference. Everything went smoothly. And then all the elders in the place, you know, that's the way we would talk, you know, the elders in the profession in the state, and who were the executives of the association, called me and they said, we want you as first vice chairman of our association. I said, no, I don't want. I have enough I'm dealing with. You know, because I'm chief executive, I'm thinking of funding. I don't want to deal with any of these things. I don't want title. I'm not interested. I'm pastoring. I have enough to deal with. I'm not interested. And he said, no. No, you see, there are people who want the position, but we don't want them. He said, we want you. I said, but I won't have time to do anything. They said, it's okay. Even if you just stay there and ensure that those ones don't get it. I said, but I don't know anybody. Because as it is, like Reverend has said, we trained in Ibadan. I was born and bred in Ibadan, not in Lagos.
Glory be to God.
So I didn't know anybody there. This was another city. I didn't know anybody. In the medical profession, I didn't practice in Lagos at all. So I didn't know anybody in the field. So I said, okay, they would start nominating and campaigning. I said, I don't even know anybody, and I'm not going to do anything. They said, leave it all to us. We will handle everything for you. And they got to their meeting, the AGM that day. They just said, nomination, first vice chairman. They said, we're nominating. They had already organized everything. Somebody stood up and said, well, I nominate him. They said, okay, who's voting? Everybody said, yes. That's how I got in. And when we're done from there, became chairman for four years. You know, so I'd done that. And so this guy came and said, look, all these things you got and you did, this my senior came. He said, how did you do them? And I said, it's long story. I said, but all of it had nothing to do with me. It all had everything to do with God and God's planning. I said, because I was not capable of getting any of these things, because in the natural, I didn't have all the connections and all it took, you know, to get to some of those positions. Are you still following what I'm saying?
Yes.
But God has a plan. He said, I will teach you. I will teach you the best pathway for your life. I will show you which directions to take. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
But hear this. One of the first things we must know, is that God's purpose ultimately is that he expects us to impact people and point them to him. That's why he wants to bring us to that place of shining. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? He wants us to be there so that we can actually impact people. We can touch lives in such a way that people start asking, what exactly is it about you? And that's why I like the conclusion of the story yesterday when Reverend Ajayi was speaking, and she said the best part for her was when the chief executive said, you know what, I went to church.
Yes,
I went to church again. I haven't been for 40 years, but I went to church again. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody?
Yes.
That's the real ultimate of what we're doing. In this walk and that pathway, and maybe I will abandon some of my notes for a little bit. In that pathway, I remember one of those days. I just, there was this meeting, a new organization being founded under the umbrella of what's known as the International Science Council, which is the umbrella global organization for all science associations worldwide. And they said, look, there's a problem between connecting scientific evidence to policy making in the real world. And they needed a whole movement and organization to drive that thing. So they founded this thing at the annual general meeting of this International Science Council in New Zealand in 2014. 2016, they were having a conference in South Africa. And people had to express interest and all of that. I didn't. I actually asked one of my staff, I said, look at this thing, apply for it. And one of the people in the host office there called me and said, Dwayne, would you come? I said, no, I've actually asked somebody to apply for that. I'm not going to apply for it. And she said, no, you should apply for this thing. You should come. So I put in and they picked me at, and I went. I attended the conference, interesting, listened to all what they were saying, was blessed, learned a lot of things and all of that. And then they were done and they said, we need to start a chapter in Africa. And they put the chapter together. They selected me as one of the people to steer the chapter. And then the guys in the steering committee picked and said, we want you as our chairman. I said, no. I'm not dealing, I've dealt with startups too much that I want to relax. I'm not doing anything. So any such thing, I have enough to deal with. They said, no. They said, there's somebody that wants it. But we don't want her. They said, we want you. And I mean, again, you can remember that this is now Africa. I didn't know the people, except one of them was Ugandan who had worked with me for a little bit. And they said, but we want you. And that's how I became the chairman of that from 2016. And I only dropped it last year, May, in Rwanda, when we hosted for the first time that global conference in Africa. And went very well, and everybody was screaming about it. I said, but when we host that conference, I resign. I'm done. I'm going to hand over to somebody else, and I did hand over to a lady from Mauritius. But it took so long, because I'd wanted to drop it for a while. It took so long because I was looking for the right person. Again, somebody wanted it who I felt wasn't good for it. And I worked hard, to ensure that I could lay a good foundation and find the right successor for it. Are you still there?
Yes.
I'm talking about how those things move. Now, on one of the meetings that we had globally, one of the global conferences of that, remember where I'm coming from, the ultimate purpose. God says, kings will come to the brightness of your light. He says, men will see your good works, and they will glorify your Father in heaven. So we had a conference, and we're in Japan. And we're coming back from a dinner just for the global board of that group. As we're coming back, there was a director, I just put him as a director, with the European Union Commission. And we're walking back together. And this guy, we had been a little friendly. We had met in that meeting, first meeting in South Africa, invited me to be a facilitator in one of their meetings, in two of their meetings in Belgium. So again, we were together in Japan for this meeting. And we're walking back. And he said, Doi, you're a person of faith. So I knew I'd gone online. I knew he had gone to Google and search and all of us. I said, yes. He said, how do you combine that? You are the head of a science, the peak science organization, and you're talking faith. I said, actually, the more science you know, the more faith you should have. I said, because it should become, more real to you. But how does even just the human body function, except there must be a great God who created it? I said, the intricacy of how it works, how a signal tells me that I'm hungry, how a signal tells me to stop eating and I don't eat and eat and eat till I burst and all of that. I said, all of those things should tell you that there's somebody up there somewhere that we don't know that created these things. He looks at me, I think you're right. Again, men will come to the brightness of your shining. The president of the International Science Council, some years later, I'm not following my script for now. One day, one of the people in his office, he used to be the chief science advisor in New Zealand. One of the ladies who worked with him, who also now worked with this organization, which he called INCSAT, it's the Evidence Policy Group, called me and says, Dwayne, we've been working on something about faith and science. And I've been thinking, who do we talk to? who do we, you know, interview? He said, and you came to mind. She said, please, can you record something for us on the combination of faith and science? So I did a video recording and I spoke about that. And they did an interview with the president of the International Science Council. And they featured my video and said, watch the video. He said, now, can we discuss what Dr. Odubanjo just said about this thing? And they began to discuss it. That video is somewhere online. Are you with me? Why? Because again, that light is shining. Many years ago, I'd wanted to go, you know, completely where what you call vocational pastors. Revo, you have two jobs, really. They call them vocational pastors. I wanted to go full-time. I prayed, fasted, and God said, no. God said, no, don't do it. And I thought, no, I want to do it. I want to just stay with that alone, you know, that the fire is burning. I want to do it. And God said, no. He said, I have an assignment for you. I want to take you to the top, and then I will pull you out. He said, I'll take you to the top, and I'll pull you out. How that was going to happen that many years ago, I had no clue. What he meant, I had no clue. Last year, I was saying to him, I said, God, okay, am I done? He said, no. By the end of last year, when we were closing last year, I got elected to the board of the International Science Council. And to do that, people were upset, you know, in the community, the organization, were upset. How come it's him? He's not professor, he's not, how come it's him? And my president was like the board chair said, it had nothing to do with me. Said those people want him there. And what they didn't know was that it was the president of the International Science Council who came to me. We met in Kigali and he said, Doi, what do you think about coming on my board? I said, that's a privilege. I said, but I will not do anything about it. Nomination, campaign, I said, I will not do anything. He said, leave it to me, but I want you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about purpose first. But let me quickly now break it down and tell you the three things that I'd written all along, okay? Because I listened to Pastor Ajayi yesterday, I said to myself, I have to find the same letter for the three things. She did these 12 times. I only have three things to do. Those three things are within the text that we read, okay? And one is Isaiah 60. It says, shine. Why? Verse 2, it said, for darkness will cover the earth. The reason why you shine is because of the darkness. So the darkness is what worries us. But God says the darkness is why you shine. So the first word is lurid. I had to go and search and say, what word is for darkness that starts with L? And that word is lurid, okay? You can also use lightless, because lurid means lightless. So when there's no light, everywhere is dark. But the reason why light shines, really, is because it's dark. So it's the darkness that we see, it's the darkness that's around, it's the problem that you get in an organization and all of that that makes you to shine. Are you with me? Do you know how many things, ministries and things that came out of the COVID-19 pandemic, that was the opportunity that allowed them to shine? Are you still there, anybody?
Yes, sir.
I mean, so when we get worried, Proverbs 24 verse 10, it speaks about, and it says that when you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. One says if you fall to pieces, when things go wrong or in a crisis, he said there wasn't much to you in the first place. So the darkness is the opportunity in itself. Are you with me? The darkness is the opportunity to prove the word of God. The darkness is the opportunity to stand and say, no, this is what God's word said. And therefore, this is what must happen. And when it then happens, that's when the real light shines bright. So when there was huge crisis in the organization with Reverend Ajayi that time, and she says, God will sort it out. It was a huge crisis. But That is the opportunity. If you don't faint. James chapter 5 was talking about, what's his name? Job. Job had crisis. And James chapter 5 says, we consider them blessed to endure. He said, for we see Job and his endurance, and we are able to tell the end intended by God. So if he did not endure and stand his ground in the darkness, we wouldn't have seen what God really planned. It means too often we don't see what God really had in mind, because people give up. People face crisis and they just give up. But if they stood there and they said, ha, this is what God has for us. I tell you what, many years ago, and I'm trying to make it a little faster. So many years ago, we have a church in Ibadan. We moved to the place by divine leading, we believed. And things were, you know, but we kept on. The unction was there. The glory of God was there. But it wasn't a big church. It wasn't, I mean, things were not really growing. One day I saw a preacher that I knew very well. He came around the area. So I was out there with our pastor, with my associate. And we're there. We saw him, greeted him and all that. He was talking. He said, okay, your church is here. He said, oh, actually, you know, many years ago, we came here. We had planted a church here. He said, but I discovered that churches don't grow here. He said, there's a principality here. There's darkness here. Churches don't grow here. So when he left, I was telling, you know, my associate, and I said, did you hear what he said? He said, yes. I said, it's a confirmation we're supposed to be here. Yeah. I said, where do you put light? I said, so somebody saw darkness, then he removed the light. I said, what does that mean? I said, so now I understand that God sent us here, even more. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And we stood our ground. I was telling somebody, because we are looking for church building, we bought that building, we finished paying December 31st, 2024. Now, just like Reverend Ajayi was saying, it's a complex. It's two-story buildings, face me, I face you, plus an uncompleted one at the back. When we moved there, it was by faith. But like I told you, God, we believe God was leading us there. So we got there. We thought we had saved some money. But we met the agent, and the man, I was the one who just drove that day looking around, and I saw the place. I drove there, and I met the man, and he said, oh, he's the agent. I said, great. I said, we want to rent this place, this floor. He said, what do you want to do with it? I said, church. He said, how will you do that? I said, we're going to break these walls. He said, okay. He said, this is the amount. I said, that story because of this. Years later, the guy said to me, he said, you know, when we met that day, many churches had come. And I asked them this. I said, how will you use it? They said, they will break the walls. He said, that's why I said, no. We won't rent it out. He said, and you said exactly the same thing. He said, we'll break the walls. And I said, yes. And then he told me the figure. It was way more than what we had saved. I went back and I said, God, this is serious. I thought you led us there, but this is way more than what we have. You know, I called the leaders. We spoke. They said, yeah, Pastor, let's go for it. I said, then that's a sign. You know, that's a confirmation. So we went for it. We took the place. And somewhere along the line, we told this agent, we said, look, if this man ever wants to sell this place, tell him we are interested. But one day the man called me. I wasn't in the country. He called me. You know, is this Reverend Badu? I said, yes. He said, this is who he is, blah, blah. I greeted him, afternoon, sir, blah, blah. He said, I want to sell that place. He said, and I was wondering if you're interested. I said, we are. We are told your agent we're interested. He said, he never told me. He said, but I felt I should give you the opportunity of first refusal. So I said, sir, I'm not in the country. I said, but when I come, I'll come and see you. I said, we're interested. So we sat down. We talked. He told me this is how much he wants to sell. I said, sir, we don't have that kind of money. I said, so you know, what I would say you should do for us is this. Sell us this one building where we are. Put a fence between, sell the other building, you know, so you can get money. I said, but for us, you sell us and we pay you in installments. Let's agree over many years we pay you. Anyway, we discussed it, blah, blah. The man said, okay. He said, you pay me $5 billion every 3 months. I said, we don't have it. I said, whatever comes in, we will send to you. I said, but no, we need to sign an agreement. You need to put a figure. I said, put it there. I said, but I'm telling you now that is whatever comes, we'll be sending to you. You know, the man said, it's okay. He went away. We first paid some money we had saved up. We paid him the money. After that, we were sending him, like, you know, you send 200,000, 500,000, But within 2 months, that man came back, went back to see the resident pastor, and he said, you know, I think you should buy the complex. So that one called me and said, man, the man came to me because he asked me, he said, look, how do I see you when I want to see you? I said, you don't need to see me. If you see the pastor, you've seen me. He's in charge, whatever he says. So he called me, he said, this man came. He said, he's had a rethink and he wants us to buy the whole place. He said, what should I tell him? I said, you tell him yes. I said, because if you have been giving somebody nonsense money and he comes back to you and says that you should now include the one he had removed before. I said, I thought he would come back to you, bring the money and just throw it on your table and say, you people get out. You know, I will sell to somebody else who is serious. I said, so if he came back, it's a sign. I said, tell him yes, we'll take it. And that's how we took it. From that time, that first year, the man said, you know, from now, I will hand over the place to you. We hadn't finished paying. He said, I will hand over to you. I'm not collecting rent from anybody to pay to you. I'm talking about how God does things. Because sometimes and that's why he needs to lead us. You know, because sometimes you are thinking, I need to find all this money, take all this money in one big bag and carry it to him and say, we have it now. You know, but we didn't. But God gave us the place that way. Favor. From that first year, we were the landlord. He dealt with no tenant anymore. We appointed an agent for us, for the ministry, who was there, who was managing all the tenants who were paying to us. It wasn't much rent. So I said, everything that comes in, add it to the money that we need to pay. But we became the landlord. Guess what? The agent who took us into the building, his office was there. We became his landlord. Are you with me? December 31st, 2024, just that many months ago, we finished paying him. We went through 7 years. We didn't finish paying. That was our agreement, 7 years. One day he came with his family, him, his wife, his son-in-law, and his son. He said, Pastor, the way you have been paying that money, it's just trickles. So I smiled. I sat down. I said, I looked at them. The son-in-law spoke. He said, in fact, when I saw the agreement, I said, what kind of agreement is this? The guy works in a bank. He said, I've never seen this kind of agreement before in my life. I said, me too. I said, but, you know, when I met with your dad, these are discussion. And I told him point blank that this is how it's going to go. Whatever comes, we give him. I said, and I told him the things we were doing, we pay rent, we pay scholarship for students. I said, we won't stop those things. I said, everything we're doing, we'll be doing. We serve people and we serve God. I said, but whatever God gives us for this one, we will give and we'll pay it up. I said, I was honest with him from the scratch, and that's what we have been doing. He said, but you have only 2 years to go. I said, well, God, that's more than enough time for God, you know. And they left. The 2 years went. We didn't finish paying. We're going to go and see the man one day. I mean, that at the end of the 2 years. So as we're going, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to ask him, give us one more year. And God said, don't. He said, just ask him to state his terms. What does he want? And the man was very honest with us. Said, look, that place doesn't generate much money. I'm building another place in Lagos. I want to sell it, so I take the money and invest, complete what I'm building in Lagos. You know, so we became quite friendly. So when we got in there, we spoke. He showed me pictures of what he was doing in Lagos and all of that. And he said, okay, but Pastor, this thing, what do we do? I said, sir, tell me. What do you want? The man thought about it. He said, I'll give you 2 more years. I was going to ask him for 1 year. God said, don't ask him for anything. Tell him to tell you what he wants. And he said, I'll give you 2 years more. In those 2 years, the money that came eclipsed what came in 7 years. What? One of those times, there was a minister who was coming to town who I knew, you know, and I just had this, I'm not that kind of person. I just had this urge. I said, I felt, call him, tell him to go and pray there. So I called him and I said, I said, hello, sir, blah, blah. I said, I see you'll be in town. He said, yes. I said, please, when you go there, go to this place and pray. And he went there, he prayed. And the next thing I saw, 10 million, boom. He said, my wife and I, we have a leading to do that. I said, if I knew that was it, I wouldn't have called you. I said, I just had a leading to call you to go pray. He said, yes, but when we finished praying, we had a leading from God that we needed to do this. I'm telling you, money just now started coming in. By December 31st, we had maybe about 1.5 million to go. And they called me, they said, we have 1 million. I said, man, can you raise 0.5 for us? So I called one, two people. I said, this is what's going on. They sent the money. I mean, church, we sent the money and we paid off just before midnight on the 31st. And we're done. And now we own the complex. Are you with me? Luminance, number two. Luminance. The light. When you pick your light, you pick a bulb and all that. Luminance is the content, how bright that light is in itself. Are you with me? How bright that light is in itself. That's the luminance. And I'm talking about your own content. Colossians 3:16 says you should be full of God's word. It said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Richly, richly. Not small, small. Richly. I mean, you heard Dr. Yejide speaking yesterday about that personal quiet time. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. It's what you carry that comes out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Ephesians 5 also talks about a second thing. It talks about not being drunk with wine. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. They tell us that in actual Greek, it meant a present continuous tense, meaning be in a continual state of being filled with the Spirit. Always be filled with the Spirit. Always be filled with God's word. Are you still with me this morning? You know, one of the things I saw that helped me, even in the secular, was that I discovered in Genesis, especially 30:27, Jacob had gone to work for Laban, who was even his uncle. Laban was the CEO of the company. Laban was employed by his uncle, and his uncle was a crooked man. Crooked CEO. He said he changed his wages 10 times. They agree he will change the wage. He will agree we change it 10 times. Wicked, tough. But the man was being blessed in spite of it all. And one day, Genesis 30:27, Laban came to him because Jacob said, I'm leaving. And Laban said, don't. He said, I have learned by experience that God is blessing me for your sake. I've learned that there's something you carry that is working for me in this organization. So that time I swallowed that. I'm talking about content. I swallowed that and I said to myself, there's no way I'm going to work. That if I say I'm going, you won't ask me to reconsider. Nowhere. And right from then, even when I was in clinical service, I went to a place. They asked me to come cover for a doctor who was going on leave. I covered for him. By the time the 4 weeks was done, that he was on leave, was it for two or three, four weeks? When he was done, the medical director called me and he said, I want to employ you. Give you the job. I said, what about that man? They said, don't worry about it. I said, no, sir, we worry. I didn't come here to take his job. I said, so I'm not taking it. You want to fire him? Because I said, no. I didn't come here for that. I came to cover for him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. I've been in multiple situations like that where I have said, look, I'm going, and the people will say, no, you can't go because we have sinned. And what's working for me? Genesis 30:27. Genesis 21:22, Abimelech said to Abraham, he said, we have seen that God is with you. They dealt with Isaac, his son. They said, we have seen that God is with you. Same Abimelech. And I've discovered that if you will chew and get God within you, then you can actually go to places and you can explode and shine. One of the people I know is in the military. Strong man of God. And one day he said, you know, he was presenting. Military, is an army general now. He said he was presenting, general seated. And he said they were weeping. You see, their eyes, they would take. He said they were weeping. He said they didn't understand that it's the anointing. They didn't understand what he was functioning in. This was a military meeting. What the way this guy was speaking, they sent him on a course to Liberia, and they said they had this training course for the military there. They needed to revise the curriculum. They were going to ask Sandus here. They were asking Sandus to revise the thing for them. He said one day the unction came upon him, and in one weekend he sat down and revised the whole thing. He said, and when those guys took it, he submitted to them, said, this is a new curriculum. He said they took it, they sent it to Sandus. Those ones said, we have nothing to add. Nothing. He said, who did this? This is excellent. One day we had a group like that, you know, all academies, you know, and it was a training session. So I was facilitating, I was presenting. And a lady who was South African Academy, she was there seated beside one of our own staff. And as I was presenting, it was a lady who was telling me later, that's our own staff. Said the lady, I'm saying, said, what is it? What is this guy? I was presenting secular, it's not anything. She said, and along the line, she said she does mention, and he's a pastor. She said, there's something. There's something. I'm telling you that you need to chew upon God enough that you step in the workplace and they say, we have learned by experience that when you are here, things work. Are you with me? You know, years ago, when I did come to do my master's here, towards the tail end, I'd finished coursework, working on my thesis, I decided to volunteer. So I volunteered with a charity in London called Pick and Workout. I think they changed the name now. It's called Pick and Workout. They work with ex-convicts and try to get them back. So it had nothing to do with medicine. They take ex-convicts and kind of train them and all that and help them to get back into employment. So I came in as a volunteer. The agreement was I should come in once a week. No, I'll come in twice a week. They pay transport and give me stipend for lunch. So I come in and I do that. But as we'll sit there, you know, we'll first do like a 2-week workshop for these ex-convicts, and then they'll give you people one-on-one to mentor and help out, you know, either go back to education or go back into employment. So they also gave me my own clients, as we call them. But not just that, I will work with them, I will look at things, I'll tell the manager, you know, have you thought about doing this? Have you thought about doing that? Have you thought about changing this? Have you thought about doing this way? So one day the guy asked me, he said, you don't come on Fridays. I said, no. He said, please come. I said, why? He said, that's when we have our meeting. You know, he said, please come. Even if you just come for the meeting and go back. He said, but I want you to come. So the first one I came, they having the meeting, he spoke and said many things. And I said, oh, what about this and this and this? You know, he first asked, okay, any comments? Nobody spoke. So I raised my hand. I said, what about this and this and this? The guy said, now you know why I asked him to come. He said, because he's a volunteer. But the things he's already saying about how to improve this place is mind-boggling. You know, he said, but most of you, we sit here, you are not seeing anything. He said, but he's already telling me what to change and how to improve this place. At about that time, a position opened. They were looking for a mentor, blah, blah, blah. So they, in fact, interviewed people. They were not very satisfied. I didn't put in for anything. I believed I was to go back. And we're having our first son then. Our son. It's only one son and one daughter. Yes, so we're no more sons. So I told them, no, I mean, then after they interviewed people, and they were not happy. And they came to me. They said, why don't you take this position? I said, no. And they said, why? I said, I'm going back home. I said, we're having a baby, and blah, blah, blah. They said, okay, why don't you go? Do whatever you need to do there and come back. They said, whatever we need to do, she is COS and blah, blah. They said, we'll do everything. I said, look, I'm not coming back. They said, look, we'll give you to the end of the year. We'll keep the position for you. Go and come back. I said, no. Are you hearing me? And the guy said, look, never in the history of this place have we had a volunteer that we could hand a client to manage one-on-one. He said, the way you have been here, we handed you clients to manage on your own. Are you with me, anybody? So I talked about what? Luminance. And I said, you walk in a place They want you to stay. Why? Because I chewed on something. Last thing, number three, location. Location. God is quite specific. Psalm 139, verse 16. In fact, Psalm 139 from verse 15 down, it talks about you were carefully, intricately woven in your mother's womb. He said, and before the first day of your life, all of your days were written in his books. One of the things I discovered is that God is very detailed. He has a plan, and it's not just a big plan, it's a detailed plan. What that scripture says is that it's as detailed as every day. He has a plan for every day. Are you with me? He has a plan for where you should be today. And our real assignment in life is finding that plan and aligning with it. You need to know that there's a location. If you look at that Ephesians 5 again, it says you don't take the light and put it under the bushel. God is location specific with your life. There is where he wants you to be. There is where he wants you to walk. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a neighborhood he wants you to live in. Ultimately, he wants to draw people to himself. And we need to constantly keep trying to align ourselves with the location that God has in mind. I remember again, Dr. Yetude speaking yesterday morning about Ignite, which I very well know, and about moving to Tunbridge Wells. Didn't look like it. Didn't look like a great move. But, and pastor says, people say, Tunbridge Wells. How can you move to Tunbridge Wells? But Tunbridge Wells from Southeast London. That you are in trouble. I mean, but he followed his heart. And Tunbridge Wells has been a blessing. Are you with me? God is location specific. He has in mind where he wants you to be. I remember many years ago, I was asking one of my friends, has many churches all over the place now. But I was asking him, because I used to pastor even for him. And I asked him, what happened? How did the church explode? And he said to me, it's very interesting because we got locked out of our venue. Small place somewhere. He said, we just got locked out. We were forced to suddenly look for a new place. He said, but I don't understand it. We moved to that place and all of a sudden, people just started coming. Location. When God is leading you and God is taking you somewhere, follow his plan. And be convinced. Can I hear you say, be convinced? Be convinced. That no matter what you face, as long as you're in God's will for your life, it will work there. That's why Psalm 37 verse 23 says what? He will order your steps. I like the translation that says that God orders the steps of the righteous and he delights in every detail of your life. Delights in every detail. Are you with me? The three things very quickly, because now Pastor Larry is lurid. No, it's not lurid. Is which word do we use for him? Number one, lurid. Number two, luminance. Number three, location. Let's stand on our feet. My personal apologies. Just take a minute and talk to God. The late Dr. T.L. Osborne said, every time you hear truth from God's word, do something about it. Pray about it. Make a decision. Write something down that you're going to do. But do something about it. By all means, do something. So take a moment to ask God, what is he saying to you? What has he said to you specifically that burned in your heart? And you felt, this is what God is really saying to me this morning. And what decision are you making because of that? Father, we give you thanks this morning. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you because beyond the specific words that were spoken, seeds have been planted that will grow and bear fruits. In the name of Jesus. We thank you because indeed it's our time to shine. And we will. We thank you because you are directing our steps to the right places at the right time.
We thank you because favor is working for us, even when we don't know it. But you have a plan, and that plan is good, and that plan will work. In the name of Jesus, to you be the praise and the glory.